My number by side lessons from the late Parshas Bahalosha, Parshas Shlach. We'd like to include both of it. This is a unique opportunity that I have this evening. Number one, I am without a shear. We're skipping 1 week, but Amir Tzashem was an amazing initiative will be started through the wonderful yeshiva. I am part of Leiva Torah, and Shiurim will start again on Zoom, since the power of Zoom, Rabbanu Shalom clearly brought us. For the increasing nature of Torah, and Amir Tzashem will be zeicha to learn Torah together with alumni, with the Shana Aleph students who are now alumni, together. And Amir Tzashem lessons from the Lev will be live again via Zoom starting next week. I also, with great trepidation, dedicate this shiur to my grandmother, Chana Lifshe Bas Beryl Dov. Just a few moments ago. When I was talking to my sister, I reminded myself that I still have the hesped that I gave my grandmother 25 years ago. Pretty amazing. It's been 25 years. And she was a very big part of my life. And when I read these words, I looked it over, it was Parshas Bahalosha. And I explained, and I said in my first idea, that she was the menorah of our family. She was the external light whose flame was benefited by all. And when she left, Al tashlicheinu lefanecha, ruach kodeshecha, tikach mimeni, it was really a ruach that our family is missing these 25 years without her. And my other grandmother, whose yahrzeit is next week in Mitzvah Hashem, I'll dedicate this year next week for, or always a week apart. And I think to myself, for both of these grandmothers, and especially on this evening, that both of my grandmothers would be so proud of not only living in Eretz Yisrael, but Baruch Hashem, the Melech Yosef of my children, that my children are giving great nachas to her as well. Obviously, all of the family's children, my sister's children, certainly, or all the many cousins as well, my cousins as well, who are giving great nachas to both Chana Lifshe Bas Beryl Dov. And Vega Bas was Klodim is common. But specifically this week, and this is the first time in my life I'm able to do this with also a great sense of not awe as much as nachas and getting a little verklempt. My son, the lessons from the Lev this week will be a vort in Chiddush from my son, from Yaakov Hartstein, name from my grandfather. Name for my both my grandfather and Chaim, Yaakov Chaim, Chaim, my mother, my wife's grandfather. And both Yaakovs were the husbands, Yaakov Weinrib and Yaakov Hartstein, of these great women whose yahrzeits we commemorate. And he was asked to speak in our outdoor minyan, and I asked him only a day before, and he said, "No problem, I'll do it, I'll do it." And I didn't ask him, I let him do it. He's a yeshiva bachur in Yerucham. I'll do it. And he spoke so beautifully. He was in Hebrew. And one of the Israeli members of this, our small minyan, turned to me and he said, For this alone, wasn't it worth making aliyah? And that very much touched me. And I want to share this beautiful idea. And over the last few 24, 48 hours, I've researched the topic a bit and reminded myself I used part of this about 4 years ago in the Lessons from the Lev. Maybe it permeated Yaakov. I hadn't remembered it. So again, excuse the emotion, but hopefully this idea will bring together both parshas. So if Yaakov Kol quoted the very interesting part of our parsha, Rabbi Zev Leff, I believe he quoted him as well, who uses the Vayhi Ben Sor. Vayhi Ben Sor is such an interesting, integral part of the parsha because it is a parsha from the Atzmo. There's a tremendous machlekes to be mamish considered as a separate book of the Torah itself or not, but nonetheless, it is an extremely important part, a demarcation point, if you will, of our parshas. And as we know, the inverted nun, Vayhi Ben Sor Aron Vayomer Moshe, when we take up the Torah, when we put the Torah back, there's certainly what to say about this, the inverted nun. Just recalled a beautiful idea as we memorialize the great Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Norman Nachum Lam, who is a great part of modern Orthodoxy in America. So my brother-in-law, Rav David Gottlieb, told over a beautiful idea, which I'll save mamash in 30 seconds, that he heard from Rav Schechter, who quoted Rabbi Lam and said, this is the knockout punch to our Torah, that the Nun could stand for it based on different ideas and not for now, but the Nun comes from the Aramaic, I believe he said, word, the Targum's word, I apologize, of swimming fish. Nun is a fish. And the inverted Nuns teach us that we have to go against the tide. And that's the ultimate form of what a Jew should be, going against the tide. But we have a Gemara. We have a Mefarish Gemara, and the Gemara tells us what's going on over here. Why do we have these inverted Nuns, a partial from the Atzmo? The Gemara tells us because it's supposed to separate Peronius le Peronius. Rachis Peronishnia Peronius, maybe even three different Peronius. And it gives the different ideas. So over here, the Tosfos comments, the Tosfos says, Shabbos Kuf Tazayin, that what were the Peronios? So he quotes the Midrash, Midrash Yamdenu, and the Midrash over there says, right, Mamash just taking this Midrash, the Midrash Yamdenu says, Vayisu Shiniso Mihar Sinai, Derech Shloshes Yamen, Ketino Kayotzi Mibes HaSefer, Shebareach Lo. That the first of the Peronios was that they ran away after 3 days of being at Har Sinai. We commemorated, of course, just a week ago, Shavuos. They ran away. Baruch Hashem Har Sinai, like children who leave that last day of school. I don't know if you remember what school is. I don't know what they're going to do this year without school. When are you going to, who are you going to run away from? You're counting the seconds till school's over and you have your summer vacation. And that's the Peronios. So ask really the Ramban asked this question. There's a little bit of a problem over here. Ramban asks beautifully and says, we have a little bit of a problem. Because if you want to separate three Peronius, three different things that happen, right? The complaining that's going to happen. So, because if you have three in a row, said Yaakov, my son, so that's going to be the bad thing. So he said, he asked a good question. Ramban asked this question. It would make sense then when to have Ayi ben Tzor between number two and number three, because you're going to get to number three. Why between one and two? There has to be something unique on this Tina Kaboreach, the running away from Har Sinai. And the Ramban addresses this. The Ramban addresses this, and the Ramban says, beautifully, to summarize this idea. Rashi, of course, over here, already comments what this idea is. This Vayihi ben Tzor being something unique, being something special, Vayihi ben Tzor. But we need to explain it even further. We need to understand what is going on over here. So let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban beautifully, again, elaborates on the idea and says like this. Says the Ramban that the Peronius of the Peronius, the bad things that happened, we had to make this separation. So why did we have to make this gorgeous separation between the two, this in-your-face separation, if you will? Because of what the Gemara says. That the Midrash says, Aval Inyan HaMidrash HaZeh Matzinu Be'agado, we see it over there in the Gemara, Shenasu Mihar Hashem B'Simcha U'Metina Kabareach Mibeis HaSefer. So if you noticed, and I missed this to begin with, and I reminded myself with a little bit of a strange situation today, this idea, I remembered that there was a footnote in the Art Scroll Ramban that pointed out something very unique that we might have missed in the Ramban, because the Tosfos doesn't say this, and in fact, if you look at the current, the Medrash, Yilam Deinu doesn't say that either, but there's a really important word that's added over here. And I try to go to the yeshiva to get it. We have a policy in the yeshiva. You're not allowed to touch any svarim yet. They're being machmir as they should, I understand. So they said, oh, you can come. Baruch Hashem, one of my friends, lent it to me without him having to put it in Geniza. So the footnote over there says that this is based on Tosfos Kuf Tazayin. Also the Midrash, as I said, Rabbi Chanina's statement, and found in the Midrash, as I said, by Yehulu. But the extra word that's added here, I believe the Yerushalmi and Tainus adds this word simcha. For some reason, there was in Tosfos as well, found in the earliest editions. However, in the editions we have in Tosfos, was corrupted, and we don't have the word simcha. What does the word simcha add to this whole idea? Because that's the worst. You know why that's the worst? Because the word simcha adds, they were happy to leave. They were happy to leave. Memelo, we understand it was a long time, a preparation time. It was difficult. They had the kolos of brachim, and they heard the voice of their Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Even spiritually, they were tired. But borech besimcha, there was something very, very wrong over here. That in itself was bad. They left the Har Hashem. That's why the first of the Paranias, and not between 2 and 3. Because this, in fact, the Gemara is trying to elaborate and tell us, Tosfos is saying, was worse than any of them. Because they could have gotten into Eretz Yisrael right away. And in fact, to connect this to our parsha, although I'll connect it in a different way, Sada Kabbalah says, if the Jews were smart, what does it say? Vahi ben Tzohar Aron, Aron vayomer Moshe, what would it say? Yefutzu mi'arvecha. I would have let you right into Eretz Yisrael if you would have done this right and not ran away b'simcha. You could have got the Meraglim. We didn't need Meraglim. You would have been able to fight against the hope. But you ran away. I would have protected you against everything. What were you doing? So here's the chiddush, though. Here's the beautiful chiddush. We know that Rashi famously tells us right in the beginning of our parasha, Ba'alos Chasaneiros. So we know that Aaron had Chalisha Sadas, because the end of the parasha, of the parasha in the Seam. And Vayas Kain Aaron, he did exactly like he was told. El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, Olam Ne'eraseh Kasher Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. Rashi says that he didn't change anything. Lahagid Shvacho Shel Aaron, says Rashi. Shelo Shina. Sifri says that he didn't change anything. So it comes along the chiddush of our heart, of Yaakov Arstein, and he says, that answers our question over here. That's the opposite. He goes, think about it. What's the big deal? A person in their life was told to do something. Mamash tzivui from Hashem, and you're not going to do it? Of course you're going to do it. What's a chiddush? They didn't change the way that it was. Okay, but Tzal also didn't change the way that. And he was an artisan. He could have had an eye for. No, he thought she. So what? So says, my son said that. That's the chiddush. Chiddush is that it was like that tinok, not haborech, but the tinok. Let's make him a little bit older. He's 13 and he puts a tefillin on. Like a schmacht. You ever watch that bar mitzvah boy putting the tefillin on and you say, I wish I spent that much time putting my tefillin on. I thought about this. It's so beautiful because that, Mamish, that was all corona for us. Right? During the corona season, we chalish to come back to our shuls. And now finally we're back. How we changed. Dude, we come to shul and say, wow. We weren't barech b'simcha chas v'shalom. If Mamish says the two ends of the coin, and I think that that's actually Parsha Shlach, the Chavetz Chaim explains to us how the Yetzer Hara got into the heads of each of the Shvatim, the great Tzadikim of the Shvatim. But says the Chavetz Chaim, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. They understood that this nation, one parsha ago, are complaining and complaining three times in a row almost. And continue complaining. How are they going to be able to get into Eretz Yisrael? You kidding me? Now they have the man Hashem gives them every single thing that they want. So let's keep it that way. I don't think Eretz Yisrael is for them. And of course Yeshua and Kalev saw it. No. That's the Yetzirah talking. Hashem of course will protect us. Why? Because maybe that was the difference. Maybe Yoshua and Kalev understood what it was not to just do the same thing day in, day out, but do it with hislavos. And I found this in the Svas Emes. I remember that I quoted once on a lesson from the Lay of the Svas Emes that I had to find it, and I couldn't go to the yeshiva, couldn't touch the svarim. So my friend Yudi Axel, who loves the Svas Emes, explained to me, as those that know Svas Emes well, like he does, you got to find the right year. It's not so easy. So here's one that I found. Vayas Kein Aaron, Shaloshino, says Rashi. Yesh Lufarish, Ki Asa Maisa Mitzvah, Kol Yamachaya Bekavana, V'Ratzon Echad. He did it exactly, V'Ratzon Echad. Kol Adam, Shetvechila Mit'orer Latov. A person really starts it off really well, like the guy that puts the tefillin on the first day. He's so excited. Acher kach nishkach benu. He forgets it. Tzarech lechafesh leis oiris be'oifan acher tamid. We have to look at chedushim. How are we going to do this? Tefillah is not just tefillah. I'm coming back into shul now. Now I'm going to use an article sitter. Now I'm going to put my phone in a place where it doesn't matter if it buzzes. I'm not going to be able to touch it. I won't even see it. It's in my tefillah bag, whatever it might be. The MS says the Tzvas MS. Ki hit pa'alut ha-rishon hu ha-muvchar. You have to set the standard. So it's Nermar, Aaron. That's why it says Aaron Shalashina. Later, about Tamid, he always came with Kedusha. That's a Hislavos. It was the same mitzvah, but always with something different. Unbelievable. Unbelievable idea. It wasn't the same mitzvah, really, because he changed it just a little bit each time. And that was the chiddush over here. That was the chiddush. Aaron was always looking to change in the way that he did something. It was the same mitzvah, but the simcha was different all the time. Because he recognized the great opportunity he had in doing the mitzvahs. And maybe the Chet HaMeraglim in itself, and why so strict the Chil HaDoiris Tisha B'Av, if we remember this day that will live in infamy. Tisha B'Av, what Tisha B'Av is. Is because it was a slavos in the other way. It was a simcha in the other way, like the Tosfos. So excited to run away and not have to do it. Baruch Hashem, it could have been a calamity. We could have left shuls and say, wow, this is great. I love this. And many people commented in a very positive way that being able to daven now with our children and davening slower, but people still chalash to come back. And even though it's a slow and steady path, some of us are still not in our shul. Some of our inner shul, but not exactly the way we want to be, and can hardly breathe when we're in our shul with our masks. Hopefully we have an appreciation that will last. But my friend, I had the success of listening to a drusha of his many, many years ago, one of the Tshuva drushas live, gave it at IDT, and he spoke about mitzvahs anoshim l'umado. The Navi bemoans us doing mitzvahs at a rote. Parshas Kisavo, that we don't do simcha v'tuv levav. We don't have the same simcha. And he says, I knew this. Unfortunately, the lesson I learned was when I was an onion. And I kept catching myself making brachas. You don't make brachas on food. And I realized that I was just mouthing the words. Rabbi Reisen, I remember once said, it struck me because I blow shofar as well. And he says, I blow shofar. And says, you ever notice the guy that gets up and blows shofar and makes a bracha like you never heard before? Baruch Ator Lishmoya Kol Shofar. Says, why is your shackle in the upper like that? Okay, so there are answers you could give, obviously. But it should be one specific rub. And when he makes a bracha, and he gives shurim, I listen, he makes the bracha. It's such a beautiful bracha. He stops and he says, Shakol Niyabithor. So beautiful and unique. Not just blah, 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 blah. That's the message of our parasha. Those listening who just finished their Shana Aleph, those listening who are in this new stage of their life now, getting a little bit more out of their houses, having to make decisions, and obviously a person should certainly not be davening if it's not safe for them. Should be machmir on the Shemarta Moedif Mafrosecha. But what an amazing thing to take upon ourselves, to not be barech besimcha, to have the opposite, have the simcha, being able to come back and saying, how can I change my davening that it's something that's real to me? What can I do? How can I make my makom tefillah a place that's miyuchad? It's not just a regular room. It wasn't my living room, which became special places, my new base medrash. How do I make the shul into a place that is not for idle chatter? It's not for rampant cell phone use when it's not necessary, or maybe never. Ah, that's what we should be thinking about. What a great, beautiful idea my son reminded me of, and was machadish to me. Turned out to be a little bit based on the Svas Emes, I think, as well. But I think we can combine both partials, looking at the opposite. We have to go to the other side and say no. The slavos that we have to have for Eretz Yisrael has to be a slavos, a simcha of coming here like that tourist, those people who are chalashim to come to Eretz Yisrael. I live in Eretz Yisrael. I should say, why am I not thinking to myself how lucky I am? I was able to go to the Kotel last week. Yes, there were parameters and it wasn't easy. So what? The people chalashim to come. Not letting people in. It was Nebuchadnezzar, I think 3 or 4 Gush boys who were stuck in the airport because their visas, they thought, they said, no, your visas are canceled. You're not welcome here. What are we thinking about our Eretz Yisrael? How do we make it back to Eretz Yisrael? And those who are in Eretz Yisrael, how do we make it special? Finally, I have to conclude, I know I've said it many times, and certainly even said it on this Lessons from the Lave. The idea of the Gra quoted many quote this idea, of course, very famous by Elozman, Achashwalti Meis Hashem, Oizel Avake, Shifti Beis Hashem, Kodei Mechayar, Lachos Manem Lavaker Mechol. I heard it from Diane Dunner years ago, also from IDT he spoke. He says, how can I be a shifty man? Anam Avaker Mechol. How can it be a dweller in your palace and a visitor in your palace? That's what David HaMelech says. I don't want to miss loving the Kotel. I had this chus of going to Yeshiva HaKotel, and I would be embarrassed when somebody would say to me, oh my God, you're so lucky. You wake up in the morning and see the Kotel. You must dive in there all the time. I want to tell them the last time I was actually at the physical wall. You have it. The ability, the possibilities. We want to be shifty minds. We want to feel the existence. But it should be Levaka. It should be the boy that puts filling on for the first time. Ah, that does that mitzvah behislavos. Not only when people are watching. And I make the bracha b'kol koicha because that... No. It should be always. We should work on this amazing need of how do I make my life, my closest to Hashem, which is what mitzvahs are all about, my limud ha-Torah, something special, unique. That's the greatest gift of ever. Greatest gift that we can have. I find it amazing, specifically just ending, that my grandmother had the great schus of having 3 amazing daughters, and their children following the path of Torah mitzvahs. It's nisht pashat. Rabbi Neuberger would always say, U'ebon levanecha shalom al Yisrael, the gift of grandparents who fought coming to this country, coming to America, and having their children and grandchildren follow the path of Torah mitzvahs, the simcha. Ah, that in itself is such a tremendous melech yoyach. We should be zeicha to have a slavas for the mitzvahs, especially in our time as we return back to shuls and batei knesios and the basei midrashos as well, and have that ultimate slavas. And the Rebbeinu Shlom finally brings us back to the building of all buildings, the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, b'mheiru v'yameinu, b'simcha, v'tuv, leiv.